parts. The only significant part available was a head, but that was fine by him. At which point, Rincewind's hat having absorbed enough moisture, the ancient wood gave way under the strain and plunged him to an uncertain fate in the darkness. It was utterly dark. There had been a painful confusion of tunnels and sliding dirt. Rincewind assumed, or the small part of him that was not sobbing with fear assumed, that the earth had caved in after him. Cave. That was a significant word. He was in a cave. Reaching out carefully in case he felt something, he felt for something to feel. There was a straight edge. It led to three more straight edges going off at right angles. So, this meant slab. The darkness was still a choking velvet shroud. Slab meant that there was some other entrance, some proper entrance. Even now, guards were probably hurrying towards him. Perhaps the luggage was hurrying towards them. It had been acting very funny lately, that was for certain. He was probably better off without it. Probably. He patted his pockets, saying the mantra that even non-wizards invoke in order to find matches. That is, he said, "Matches, matches, matches," madly to himself under his breath. He found some and scratched one desperately with his thumbnail. Ow! The smoky yellow flame lit nothing except Rincewind's hand and part of his sleeve. He ventured a few steps before it burned his fingers, and when it did, it left a blue afterglow in the darkness of his vision. There were no sounds of vengeful feet. There were no sounds at all. In theory, there should be the drip of water, but the air felt quite dry. He tried another match, and this time raised it as high as he could and peered ahead. A 7-foot warrior smiled at him. Cohen looked up again. "It's going to piss down in a minute," he said. "Will you look at that sky?" There were hints of purple and red in the mass, and the occasional momentary glow of lightning somewhere inside the clouds. "Teach?" "Yes?" "You know everything. Why is that cloud looking like that?" Mr. Savaloy looked where Cohen was pointing. There was a yellowish cloud low on the horizon. Right around the horizon, one thin streak, as though the sun was trying to find a way through.
"Could be the lining," said Boy Willie.
"What lining?" "Every cloud's supposed to have a silver one."
"Yeah, but that's more like gold."
"Well, gold's cheaper here."
"Is it me," said Mr. Savaloy, "or is it getting wider?" Caleb was staring at the enemy lines.
"There's been a lot of blokes galloping about on their little horses," he said. "I hope they get a move on. We don't want to be here all day."
"I vote we rushes 'em while they're not expecting it," said Hamish.
"Hold on, hold on," said Truckle. It was the sound of many gongs being beaten and the cracking of fireworks. "Looks like the love childs are moving."
"Thank goodness for that," said Cohen. He stood up and stubbed out his cigarette. Mr. Savaloy trembled with excitement.
"Do we sing a song for the gods before we go into battle?" he said.
"You can if you like," said Cohen.
"Well, do we say any heathen chants or prayers?"
"Shouldn't think so," said Cohen. He glanced up at the horizon-girdling band. It was unsettling him far more than the approaching enemy. It was wider now, but slightly paler. For just a moment he found himself wishing that there was one god or goddess somewhere whose temple he hadn't violated, robbed, or burned down.
"Don't we bang our swords on our shields and utter defiance?" said the teacher, hopefully.
"Too late for that, really," said Cohen. Mr. Savaloy looked so crestfallen at the lack of pagan splendour that the ancient barbarian was, to his own surprise, moved to add, "But feel free, if that's what you want."
The horde drew their various swords. In Hamish's case, another axe was produced from under his rug.
"See you in heaven," said Mr. Savaloy excitedly.
"Yeah, right," said Caleb, eyeing the line of approaching soldiers.
"Where there's feasting and young ladies and so forth."
"Yeah, yeah,"
said Boy Willie, testing the blade of his sword.
"And carousing and quaffing, I believe."
"Could be,"
said Vincent, trying to ease the tendinitis in his arm.
"And we'll do that thing, you know, where you throw the axes and cut ladies' plaits off."
"Yeah, if you like."
"But what?"
"The actual feasting. Do they do anything vegetarian?"
And the advancing army screamed and charged. They rushed at the horde almost as fast as the clouds boiling in from every direction.